Are you standing at a crossroad in life, being called to express yourself in a new way? You could ignore the nudging, or you could answer the call and change the trajectory of your life. Hi, I'm Mary Jo Rathke, life transition coach and host of the Creative Directions for Living podcast. I invite you to join me on a journey to explore your potential for expression and step onto a path filled with purpose and possibility. Welcome to today's episode of Creative Directions for Living. We are going to be discussing how to stop shooting on yourself. You know, what that means and why is it important? And, you know, everyone has that inner critic in their head, you know, that says, you should do this and you should do that and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And it's a very loud voice that gets a lot of attention. And so people end up spending a lot of time listening to that voice. But there are ways to actually tune down the volume or just choose not to listen. And today I have a mind shift expert, Donna Blevins, who is going to talk to us about not only, you know, why it's important to stop shooting on yourself, but also how to do it. And so I want to introduce Donna, and, you know, she's a dynamo. She is a powerhouse. And Zig Ziglar has said about Donna that she is someone that we can all look up to, both professionally and physically. Donna is a 6'5" powerhouse married to a 5'3" Vietnam combat veteran, a man that she looks up to. As an international professional poker player, Donna candidly shares her intimate story of turning losses into wins by accessing the wisdom within those mistakes. As a mind shift coach and world-class speaker, Blevins uses her earthy, down-home Appalachian humor and highly original voice to teach people emotional agility. That's a term she coined, and it's also an evidence-based technology that she has created that we're going to hear a little bit more about shortly, that has been life-changing for many and for herself. And we're going to hear more about that when we talk. So I could go on and on and on, but let's just start. So Donna, welcome.
I spent an hour and a half before we got on listening to your podcast, and I've fallen in love with you, Mary Jo.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Well, I have fallen in love with you just in like everything that you have sent me. So this will be a total love fest.
I love it. Great. And where would you like me to go? Because I can go to many different places. You want to do it the shooting?
Yes. Let's start with the shooting, because I think that that's something that everyone can relate to. And so, you know, talk to us about, you know, like why, you know, why do people shoot on themselves and what can we do about it?
Why do they shoot on themselves? I think it has to do with upbringing. It has to do with discipline over the years. It has to do with the fact that we have been raised in a community in generations of judgmentality. I was raised as a strict Southern Baptist. And when I went to college, I mean, I was going to church every Sunday, and on Wednesday, and, you know, Bible school. And when I went to college, I said, I got to find a church. And I said, it was odd, because I said, no, I'm tired of judgmentality. I'm tired of people judging me. 20 years later, all of a sudden I had this wake up call, and I went, crap, I'm being judgmental about being judgmental. That means I'm judgmental. So, duh. So I think the shooting has to do with upbringing. And the reason I say stop shooting on yourself is because when you say that word, I should have, I say stop shitting on yourself. I said should. It's the words we choose set ourselves up for either success or failure. And I had learned over the years through sales training, first it was, what did you do right and what did you do wrong? And then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute, that's being judgmental. How can I change those words? And I went to, what have I been doing correctly? And then that second question of what did I do wrong is now, what might I have done differently? And when you step into that mindset, it's self-forgiveness and compassion. It is a wonderful place to be. And then all of a sudden you say, wow, sure, I made mistakes, but the mistakes are the way we learn.
Yeah. And so how do you feel about the idea that you actually can't make a mistake?
You can't make a mistake. Well, you know, oh goodness, I don't know where to go with that. Because I believe that you do make mistakes, but I believe it's a learning process. I believe that's how we grow. I believe, you know, does the divine put the mistakes in front of us so that we trip over them and learn? I believe it's our choice. We choose the direction we're going to go, and we choose whether to learn, or we choose whether we're going to learn the easy way or the hard way.
Right. You know, or keep tripping over the same mistake.
Oh, yeah. When you literally, when you're going so fast, okay, get up from my computer. This is my retreat, by the way. It's not my office. It is my retreat. Mm. It's my design, is my divine sacred space when I sit down in it.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. And when I get distracted and fractured, because we can energetically fracture ourselves by trying to multitask too much, and having, I got on with one of my coaching clients, one of the members of MindShift Simplified, one of the founding members, she was having difficulty connecting. And I said, well, here, share your screen and let me look and see at your desktop. She had three browsers open. And I looked up there and they were like little teensy tiny. I said, how many tabs do you have open on that one browser? She said, well, I don't know. I can't count them. And I said, yes, you can. She emailed me back. She had 173 tabs open in one browser. No wonder. Yeah, her computer couldn't work, because every time you have a browser open, there's some of that RAM that is involved in it. Yeah. So when we do that to ourselves, when we get up and we're trying to do something too fast, so many times we stumble and fall. And I believe that is a divine message. It's slow down, wait before you act, take a breath, and come to that mindfulness moment.
Yeah. And it's also like, if you don't do that and you just keep running, that's usually the time that you're going to be like, oh, I should have done this and I should have done that and I should have done that. As opposed to like, just breathe.
That's it. Yeah. Just be the place of going. Go ahead.
No, you go.
It's just like what I call shifting into neutral rather than shifting to neutral. It's shifting into that place of neutral, which is the most amazing, calm place you can be. And all of a sudden, when you get there, your shoulders drop, you can lean back. You just felt it. I saw you.
Yeah. I went into neutral. I love it. So Donna, tell us, you know, you're a mind shift coach. You have this technology that you have created, and you know, it's been life-changing not only for other people, but for yourself. And so tell us, you know, how did you use your own technology when you had that massive center left brain stroke that muted your ability to speak?
Well, I was sitting in my retreat right here, and I had, at that time, I had three external monitors, because when I write, I like to be able And it's not the multitasking. That's not the fact. It has to do with, okay, I'm working on this chapter. Where do I want it? It's easier to take it over to someplace else. And I had opened what I believed was the final draft of my book, Mind Shift On Demand, ready to go to the editor. And I looked up at the screen in front of me and I stood up from where I am. I put my, just, you know how you put your fist on your hips and you go, I want. And I looked up at the screen and I said, I want something that proves my mind shift exercises work. And I want proof now. And I stomped my foot. And moments later, I got this lightning strike in my head. And as I'm hitting the floor, I'm completely aware. And I thought, be careful what you
Yes. Wow.
I was able to get myself up off the floor, but it was a left brain stroke and we're crosswired and I am right-handed. And so I thought, well, I'll, you know, first of all, I thought, well, I'll tie my shoes. I had no idea how to tie a bow. It was like the weirdest thing in the world. I couldn't get a sock on. I had one sock on. I was able to get my feet in the shoes with one sock on and one not. I thought that's okay. And I was able to get into the kitchen where mom and my husband were. Fortunately, thank the Lord that they were there because they were headed out to go shopping. And I said, wait for me. I need to get off the computer. And I went in and I'm just looking at them and they're speaking to me and I'm just, I couldn't get a word out. And what I could say was my husband called the 911 and he said, they're saying, well, who is it? And I went, Donna. I could say Donna. And the only other word I could say was crap.
Wow.
And the short version of it is that all along the way, they airlifted me to the Florida Teaching Hospital. And all the healthcare providers kept saying, healthcare teams, every one of them said, she will never be able to speak fluidly again. It'll take her 8 to 9 months before she can talk. I chose to detach and observe rather than buy into that disease, buy into the illness. I started doing my mind shift exercise. That is my signature mind shift exercise called, isn't that interesting? And I was able to speak fluidly in 3 days.
Wow. Wow. How did you have the presence of mind to be able to even think of that during this episode?
As I'm actually transported from our home to the hospital, I kept thinking, where would I rather be? Which is actually the last step in that mind shift exercise. And I'm going, well, I would rather be well and able to talk. So right now, where would I rather be? If I'm unable to speak, then I want to be the detached observer. I want to be the witness to the experience without buying into it. And what happens is I had a ball. I had so much fun. I mean, imagine me at 6'5" being airlifted. They put me on this helicopter and my feet are hanging out the door. And I'm laughing. I'm literally laughing. They thought I was mentally deranged because all I did was laugh. I couldn't talk, but I laughed.
Wow.
And it was interesting because when they took me into the operating room to do a brain cath and inject that area with this chemical that's actually from snake venom, there's initials for it. I was so calm. They thought I was comatose. They didn't give me a sedation.
What happened next?
it was okay because there's only minor discomfort in relationship to that because when and And I went, you know, I just kind of made a tone, and they went, "What?" And I just held up my hand and did a, you know, "It's okay."
Mm.
And they went, they were too far along to give me sedation.
Mm.
And it was a wonderful experience, because when I was able to speak 3 days later, it was a joyful, I mean, it, my stroke was a gift. Mm. It was my gift, because it gave me the opportunity to get proof that my mind shift exercises work. And 5 weeks later, I had a heart procedure, because people who are in AFib, when the upper part of their heart is irregularly irregular,
mm-hmm.
they have a 5 times more probability to have a stroke.
Mm.
And when I had this heart procedure 5 weeks later, interesting, I really wanted to have it then, because I had used up my deductible for the year. Because the stroke was on Halloween 2013. I said, I got 2 months left. I've used up all my deductible. Let's get this procedure in before the end of the year. They're going, "Why do you want to do it so fast?" And I said, "Well, you know, my deductible's used up, so let's get it over with." It was the primary reason. But I went in for a heart cath the day before the procedure. And it was amazing, because you know when people come in to a room who are depressed. Have you ever seen mm-hmm. people come in with a dark cloud over their head?
Mm, yeah. Uh-huh. And they just bring everything down.
That's right. And my heart cath was early in the morning, and they were waiting for a room to put me in for the procedure. And they didn't have one. I said, "Doesn't matter where I am. I don't care at all where I just, you know, this is fun to watch." And I watched people come into the heart cath lab, and they were bringing in this fear.
Mm.
And the staff, you know, by noon, the staff was so overladen with darkness.
Mm.
And one of them came over and talked to me and said, "What is it you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm a poker mindset coach," because that was my title at the mm-hmm. time, because I've done a lot of work in the poker industry. And actually, my poker coaches told me, "Nah, you're not a mindset coach, you're a mind shift coach." They were the ones who actually rebranded my title. And they came over and I said, "You know, would you like a tool that will help you to insulate yourself from the negativity while allowing the positive self-serving energy to come to you?" And they're going, "Oh God, yes, please." And I have a mind shift exercise called the egg, which is in my book as well.
Mm.
And it has to do with creating this mirrored egg around your body, because our body goes out beyond our skin. We have an energy field mm-hmm. out there mm-hmm. and you can actually install an egg around your body that reflects out. And it's not a round egg. It goes around your body. It's positioned to shape you, and it moves. Mm-hmm. It's flexible.
Mm.
It is selectively protective.
Mm.
It reflects only negative energy, not to where that negative energy started. If you do that, creates bad karma. You're not going to do that. It
right.
reflects it back out to the universe to create natural, pure energy.
Mm.
And it allows all the positive to come through it and to you. So I thought, well, let me give that a shot. And there were about 15 people who came over, because one would do it and they go, "I feel so much better." They go over, then a couple more, "Hey, can you teach me?" And I'm going, "Sure." So I had fun. I put on my coaching hat as I'm in the recovery lab. At about 5 o'clock that afternoon, my heart cath doctor came in, and she was like standing very straight. She walked up to me and she put her hand on my forearm and she said, "What have you taught my people?" And I went, it's called the egg. And she said, "Would you please teach me?"
Mm. Wow.
A medical doctor wanted me to teach them something that is in the metaphysical world.
Wow.
It's energetic. And I thought, okay. And at the end of it, and it takes a couple of minutes to
mm-hmm.
do it.
Mm-hmm.
And she reached over and she almost gave me a hug. And she said, "You have to go see our CEO of the hospital, because we need this, because wow. we are so we get fractured because we have so many different people to see, and they have rules about only spending so much time with a patient, and we have to go from one to the other. It's like hopscotch with people. Mm. And he said, this can be life-saving for us. And I was so honored that a medical doctor would yeah. christen it as that.
Absolutely. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. And so, you know, what are some of the other techniques that you would like to share around your, and actually before you even get there, how did you even get into all this? Let's start there. And where does poker fit into it?
Oh God, we're going to have a 3-hour podcast. Is that what you're saying?
just give us like little, you know,
okay.
short versions.
Okay. Which question first?
It depends on which one leads into the other. So how did you get into all this, and how does poker fit in? Or is it, how does poker lead you to all this? Like,
okay.
I'm not sure.
So the birth of mind shifting started in when I was 6 years old. Hmm. I had tuberculosis in 1955. You can do the math.
Wow.
And they went in to do a biopsy. And during that operation, my heart stopped. And when your heart stops for 4 minutes or more, you have brain damage. My heart was stopped for 6 minutes. And I didn't have a near-death experience. I was dead. Whoa. And I want to share with you that it is a glorious, joyful place to be. Because in that time, which seemed like an eternity, it wasn't just a few moments, mm-hmm. I was no longer six. I was aware. I was ageless. And I was able to plug into the great library in the sky. Maybe it's my way of having my own flash drive and just plug it in and downloaded it. And when I came back, it was like they booted me back out of wherever that was. And there wasn't an entity. There was no entity there. I was just in the light.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I just want you to understand, it's such joy.
Mm.
And if you just imagine the joy, it's just, it's way past peace. It
wow.
is joy.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. It was as if there was this big boot said, back in the body.
And then there was not joy.
Oh, man. And when I woke up, I was still aware that I couldn't really tell them where I had been, because this was 1955. If I had shared with them my experience, they would have put me in a mental hospital.
Mm.
And because that's what my 1955 was all about. And when you said, where does this start? It become, because I believe that the mind shifting started there.
Mm.
Because as the hormones came, and as I started to age, and you know, whatever you have a teenager, then I grew 9 inches in 1 year. And it was this roller coaster of physicality. That awareness that I experienced dimmed, and it got in the back burner. And interestingly enough, it was from 1955 to 1996, when I first discovered poker, I was going through all different types of transitions. I heard today on your podcast that transitions is one of the things that you talk about. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was one transition after the other. And I'm going, okay, what is it I have to learn here? And when poker surfaced, I had no idea what beat what in relationship to the card game, but 1996 circumstance led me to the table, and it was poker that saved my life at the time, because I am so fractured. I was the management broker for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. I had taken custody of 257 properties in one day, and I had to go visit them every month. Think about how many places you can go visit every month. And I had this moment of clarity when I'm in a hand, and it was as if the poker divinity gave me a nudge and said, Donna, there's only one thing that ever exists. It's the hand you're in. Past cards are folded. Future cards are never here. They're never dealt. It's only the cards you have. And it was as if it reawakened my understanding of metaphysics. Shortly thereafter, I decided I wanted to have a PhD in metaphysics. I wanted to have a PhD on the cover of my book is actually what started it. I'll talk about ego. That's ego. And it was a blessing because I started studying metaphysics and things like chakras, energy fields. And I'm really left brain. I am pragmatic and I'm analytical. And to open up this right hemisphere, that had been opened up before. And we have this mind-body-spirit connection. And mine had been connected and activated when I was six. And it was like the poker reconnected it. And then the stroke completely reconnected the circle of this. I just got chills. This circle of understanding. And it was as if I know that my mission is to take to the world that you have control over your life by understanding that your reality is your perspective. And regardless of what's going on in the world around you, regardless of how awful it is, you can shift to that place of peace and understanding, and even in the midst of grief, while you can come to that place of mindfulness, and it's like shedding the stress, like shedding a snake skin, and it was like the reconnected. So there's those three things. It was the tuberculosis, the poker, and the stroke. All came into play. And that was the birth of Mind Shift on Demand and the relationship of being in terms of something that people can follow, because my poker coaching clients said, I will not share the four letter words they used, but they would say, what do you mean just shift your mindset? I don't understand it. And so I had to, they stimulated, I'm so grateful, they stimulated the need. They told me it's important to simplify it, to make it so that it's understandable, you know. So I take the woo-woo out of mind shifting and guide people to up their game in 7 seconds, because we can shift that fast, because there's a 7 second window of opportunity. When a negative thought comes to mind, we have 7 seconds before it anchors and takes root. So is that kind of an answer?
Yes, that's awesome. That was, I was trying to link the, you know, tuberculosis, poker, and a stroke. And I was like, okay, that's like, yeah, reality is stranger than fiction. You know?
Yeah, and I want you to know that if anybody, by the way, this is a fact, a medical fact. When someone has tuberculosis, they are more likely to have stunted growth.
Well, the opposite happened for you. Unless you have people who are 7 feet tall in your family.
No, I'm the tallest. I'm the tallest.
Wow. That is just amazing. Oh my. So then thank you, Donna, for sharing all this. This is really amazing and so interesting. And so I would love to know if you want to share any other, you know, like tip or you know, the egg or some other mind shift technique for people, particularly around the idea of shoulding.
Okay, so I will share one that's yet to be published. So I may have spoken it about it before, but it's called Evict the Witch. Because we
love the names of these two.
You'd love them.
Yeah.
Except actually the first letter in the noun was a different letter. You can imagine what it was rather than which. So you can go ahead and pick the consonant that you'd go there, because I had this perfection witch on my shoulder and this fear of perfectionism, this procrastination that was just getting me, I was just shooting all over myself. And when I realized, I said, I go, what is this? And all of a sudden I looked over to the right and I said, there's a perfection witch over there. Let's see. She's taken residence there. No, she jumped over the, okay, you're trying to move house? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to let you know, you have no permission to be here, I would say to her. So out. And I would just flip her off like she's a piece of lint on my shoulder. Out. And now explain to her that she has no permission to take up residence. She has no rental agreement, no lease. No, you have no permission to be there. Now, every now and then, very rarely anymore, she does say, ah, I'm moving back in. You can see her coming with her bag. No, out. So evict the witch, literally, when you're going, oh, I just really, that has to be perfect. Stop shooting on yourself. It does not have to be perfect. What's more important is it be out there, be messy, get it out there, do it again. I mean, I'm going to be on WOW Wednesday, Women's Prosperity Network WOW Wednesday next week. Whatever it was, mm-hmm. It could be on April 14th, 2021. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be talking about the fact that the vast majority of entrepreneurs have nothing tiny to sell. They're thinking about, I want to be this coach that brings in these big packages of money, but they don't have any history. People are going to pay them thousands of dollars to do that. Even though they might be trained to do that and certified to do that. Let me share with you. Get yourself some mini courses. Do something for 2 hours, and mine are $11. I've always done my 2 hours at $11.
Wow.
And I'm doing the course creation simplified. It's creating mini courses the simple way. It's the blueprint for creating, the blueprint for creating mini courses the simple way, because that's what I've learned, is that simplicity is, that's the gem. That's the gold, is simplicity. You know, that's a diamond, you know, is a big piece of coal that has been compressed. So it's a tiny, tiny gem. And messy is a whole lot better than waiting for it to be perfect. Just evict the witch and say, out. You have no permission to be here.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
You muted yourself.
Okay. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. I'm going to mute myself one more time. I have a dog that broke in while we were talking.
Oh, no, actually, that's fine as far as I'm concerned. I mean, animals are our spirit guides. I believe that animals are the way for the divine to connect with us and to share with us what true love is about.
I totally agree with that.
And the fact that, and what is your baby, what's your baby's name?
Well, I have Chelsea and Toby. The one of them knocked the door in and then the other one followed. So
that's okay. Welcome them. Tell them I'm happy to have them in my midst. I'm happy to have them here. I hear one panting.
Yes, that's why I was muting myself.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Believe me, when it comes to animals, we are in the home. And actually, this is the pandemic, the COVID, has been a blessing for us who traditionally work at home, because what it has done is it has allowed us the opportunity to become more comfortable and better at doing what we do the best from home. And it's also trained people to connect on a virtual level. I mean, the things that can be done virtually are astonishing. Energetic work and healing can be done virtually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just off the chart.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I was like, oh no, I successfully had them out of the room for this. And then they,
well, actually, because of the fact I have four, we have four pod. Our pack is now a pack of four. We had a six pack at one time. And we have 12 of my children are buried on our acre because we've been our four-paw children.
Yes.
Because we have been rescuers of older dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have taught me, even though I'm such a poor learner sometime, and I will claim that because it's the resistance to let go. They have taught me to release and to let go because we try to hold on too long. And when we've tried to hold on to our babies, our pups, and put them through surgeries that are unnecessary because they're at the end of their life, and put them through something that would cause them pain, that is my ego. It's my ego because I don't want to let go. And they have taught me the value and the love of letting go.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah. Yes, we happen to, getting off topic, but we happen to adopt them at age 5 for some reason. That's like when they come to us into our world. And,
and then, it's wonderful.
Yeah. So anyway.
Actually, it's not off topic because it's about transitioning, and dogs will help us with understanding about transitioning, by the way. Okay. Dogs and cats.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. The redirect. So what I wanted to ask you was if you had a gift or something that you wanted to share, like if people want to connect with you or get to know you better, how can they connect?
Go to Mind Shift On Demand, mindshiftondemand.com. Mm-hmm. That's the book site, because the book is, by the way, it was published in 2017, and it's on Amazon and in Kindle and print, and it has been in the top 100 in 3 separate categories most all the time. And this past couple of weeks, number 25 in hypnotherapy and in decision-making process. And so my signature mind shift exercise, isn't that interesting? The one that I had shared with you, the concept of it. I have a 4-minute audio of that on the page, mindshiftondemand.com. And it is a process that is so simple, it's so easy, and you have the ability to shift your mindset in the moment on demand when you have the tools. It's just like creating your own tool bag, your tool belt, whatever word works for you. But when you have this tool and go, oh, I can do that, because once you retrain your brain and do it long enough and often enough so that you have created new neural pathways because of the neuroplasticity of our brain. Those words I learned because of the stroke, by the way, is that we can, once you train your brain to do that, your brain can literally go from point A to point Z like that in the snap of a finger. When you learn it and understand it and know it, you don't have to go through the steps. You can literally take a tone and I just go, and that's my cue. And I can take a moment and I'm upset about something and I go, and it goes through those steps instantly. And all of a sudden I feel better. You know, it has to do with when a negative thought comes to mind, we have 7 seconds before it anchors and takes root. And we have a huge opportunity of window. I call it the 7-second window of opportunity. And when you take 40 days and listen to this 4-minute audio and go through the process, 10 minutes a day, first start out with the 3 things you're grateful for. Always start with gratitude. Go through that and then make a little note about how you might use that. You know, what thought did you bring up that caused you strife? And do that for 40 straight days. And that begins to anchor that as a habit. So with a tone or with a thought, your brain can actually shift through the process without having to go step 1, step 2, step 3. Because we are so smart. On the top of your body is a biological supercomputer. And you have the ability to tap into that.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Donna. That's amazing. It's so simple, right? It's so simple and yet so not done.
It's really interesting because a couple of weeks ago during one of my meetings with my members, my founding members of Mind Shift Simplified, and you won't find a page about it because I haven't had it open publicly. I wanted to open it up. So I said, okay, I'll take 10 founding members and see. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, what do I do for you? You know, what is it? What do I do for you? So glad I asked that question, because one of them said, she put her hands over her face and she said, you see what we never see because you simplify. Mm. You are the chief simplifier.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you. Yes. That's what I felt.
That was the angel singing.
Yes. And I went, whoa.
Yeah.
And so that's.
It's a gift.
It is a gift.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you, Donna. Okay. Well, we, are at the end of our interview, but it has been such a pleasure. And thank you so much. I mean, we've covered so much ground, you know. We started with, you know, stop shooting on yourself, but it really turned into this really simple way, you know, very simple techniques to just really slow down. I love that, going into neutral. And then from there, you can really just be and then shift into where you want to go next and or stop. But, but that idea of, you know, being able to really just use that supercomputer, on the top of your head to, you know, when you engage with it instead of fighting it and resisting, you know, what's going on, to really just be able to do such simple things like the tone, you know, isn't that interesting? Cue yourself. I love that. So everybody go to mindshiftondemand.com so that you can get the 4-minute, isn't that interesting exercise, and try it for yourself for 40 days. So Donna, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, Mary Jo, my pleasure.
My pleasure too. Thank you.
I'm Mary Jo Rathgeb, life transition coach and founder of Creative Directions for Living. I'll meet you at the crossroads where creativity and courage await.